Well, this past week I was reading in a world-renowned magazine that was dealing with some medical issues, Reader's Digest, and they were talking about the benefits of hugs. And they were mentioning that in order for a person to receive the best health benefits that you can possibly imagine from a hug, the hug needs to last at least 20 seconds. So at some point, and I'm going to thank Judy Locke for this idea, but at some point on some Sunday, when, you know, we reach that 75 to 80% of, you know, vaccination, and, you know, they claim that we have herd immunity or whatever, we're just going to have about 10 minutes where people just hug on one another for 20 seconds each, and we can kind of get back to that sort of connectedness. But until that, you know, we're glad for these small steps, you know, when it comes to opening things up and getting rid of masks and those kinds of things. Well, we've been looking at several passages of Scripture over the last couple, 3 weeks, featuring the word guard. As I have placed it, it's, you know, they're guardians of the galaxy. Actually, they're guardians of our galaxy, if you will. And these are things that in Scripture God wants us to protect. We've talked about how God wants us to guard our tongue and guard our mouths, guard those things that are coming out of our mouths, the words that we say, the intentions of our words, and that communication thing. And that communication thing isn't always verbal. You know, there's that kind of communication that is what we call nonverbal, rolling the eyes or a heavy sigh or something like that, you know, standing like this when you're communicating, all of those kinds of ways that we communicate need to be guarded, need to be guarded. The other one that we looked at, and we looked at this last Sunday, it's a little more difficult. It was called guarding against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And hopefully you got the idea that this yeast is a small thing, but it infiltrates everything. And the yeast of the scribes and the Pharisees, or the Pharisees and the Sadducees, was that they really believed that they could be judgmental and that they could be legalistic in their interpretation, that their pride was what was most important, or that they could judge one another and judge salvation. And one group said that salvation was based on works alone, and others said that there was no such thing as a need for salvation because there was no heaven or hell or resurrection or any of that kind of stuff. But the point was that even amongst religious people, small things, very insidious things, can infiltrate. They're not biblical, but boy, can we get a hold of them, and they affect everything that we do. And so we need to rely on the discernment from the Holy Spirit so that we stay vigilant and steadfast, and we guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Well, today we're going to be given a little bit of a break. You see, instead of us figuring out how to do the guarding, in this particular passage of Scripture, the guard is given to us. God has told us not only what he wants guarded, but he has given us what we need in order to guard. Let me explain. The precious thing that God wants us to protect is called our heart and our mind. And the passage that we're going to be looking at is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. If you would take your Bibles and turn to that passage, Philippians chapter 4. The main verse is verse 7, but I want to read the whole passage. But before I do, I want to just explain a little bit about what's going on in Philippi. You see, Philippi is an area that the Apostle Paul is taking under his wing, if you will. He's exhorting them, he's teaching them, he's encouraging them. And at the beginning of chapter 4, he lists a whole series of exhortations. Some are very specific to very specific people. He asks people to help one another, to be an encourager to one another. And it doesn't matter whether they are male or female. He wants them to love on one another. And then he comes to verse 4. And at verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And then he comes to this conclusion. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, it's really quite an amazing passage of Scripture when you think about all of the encouragement that Paul is giving here. He wants them not to worry about anything. He wants them to stay connected to God through prayer. He wants them to rejoice in the Lord on all occasions. He wants them to remember that God is always near them and to really realize that our minds, our hearts are safe and secure, not because of something that we have done, but because of something that he has done. God has provided this sentry to stand watch over our hearts and our minds. Now let's just unpack that a little bit. Let's just take a look first at this guard that God has given us. The guard is simply called peace. It's a derivative, a Greek derivative of the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom is more than just the absence of conflict. This Hebrew word, this peace, is not just talking about what is going on outside of you and the catastrophes and the chaos and the wars and all of the discord that is going on the outside. This is an internal peace. It's not, it doesn't require that things be okay on the outside, but it really requires that things be okay on the inside, even amidst chaos. You see, this peace is a harmony, it is a contentment, it is a reconciliation between opposing forces. Spiritually speaking, there has always been a conflict between God and Satan. Even before man was created, there was conflict between God and Satan. Satan tried to ascend to the throne of God, Scripture tells us, and God punished Satan by casting him out of heaven and casting him down to the realms of the earth, along with a third of the angels. From that chaos, Satan has committed himself to introducing all kinds of perversion and discord into everything that God does. He sort of made it his personal vendetta to do whatever he can to destroy whatever God created. And when God created humans and walked amongst them and put them in a perfect place, a place that we call paradise or the Garden of Eden, and he visited with them, he conversed with them, they knew him, he knew them, it was a perfect relationship. Everything was perfect. Everything in creation was perfect. There was a perfect relationship between man and creation, between man and beast, between man and himself, between man and God, between husbands and wives. It was just ideal. That's shalom. That's peace. Unfortunately, Satan doesn't like peace. Satan corrupted human beings. And Satan introduced doubt and deceit and temptation into the minds and the hearts of Adam and Eve, and their sin stirred the chaos more deeply. It affected everything that God had created as perfect and peaceful. That chaos replaced every human relationship. It's one of the most incredible things, if you think about it. One sin destroyed every relationship known. It destroyed the relationship between God and man. It destroyed the relationship between husband and wife. It destroyed the relationship between humans and other humans. It destroyed the relationship between humans and animals. It destroyed the relationship between man and the earth. Every relationship known was destroyed by one sin. You can't tell me that Satan isn't efficient. It affected everything, and this peace is the only way that it can be brought back. It's the only way that what God intended can happen. There's something else that you need to know about this kind of peace. It is more than just a psychological attempt to have everything in its place. You know, there are people who say, you know, if I could just have everything in place and a place for everything, then I will be calm. I will be at peace. And so we try to fit all of our relationships into certain places and certain boxes, and we try to make sure that everything has its location psychologically. We want to be at peace, and so we invest ourselves in this, or we divest ourselves of that, or we do everything we can so that psychologically we can be at peace. And there are all kinds of tricks, if you will, or methods. Maybe they're not tricks, but they are methods. Things that you can do to psychologically help yourself find peace. You know, all right, everybody, it's yoga time. Or all right, everybody, it's meditation time. Or all right, everybody, if you read this book or if you get into this inner self-preservation peace, whatever it's called, you can find inner peace. If you go online, if you Google inner peace, you'll probably come up with several 100,000 website pages on how you can have inner peace. That's not the kind of peace that Paul is talking about. In fact, he's very clear that the kind of peace that he is talking about is a peace that passes all understanding. You cannot grasp this kind of peace. You can't figure it out. You can't do enough psychological gyrations in order to have this peace, because it is not about you. It's not about us. It's not about our discovery of peace. It's about something else. Remember, I said that this kind of peace that guards our hearts and minds, it doesn't come from us. It is provided for us. So it isn't just being at peace with ourselves. It isn't just being content with our decisions or calm with our choices. This peace, this harmony, this shalom, whatever word you want to use, is a peace that transcends all understanding. Now, I love the fact that Paul uses the word all, because all is one of those all-inclusive words. That means there's nothing else. This is the peace that passes all understanding. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how much you've studied. I don't care how deeply you've gone into theology or doctrine. You cannot understand or grasp or contemplate this kind of peace. And yet, this is the kind of peace that God says is necessary if our hearts and our minds are going to be protected. So how does this peace happen? Well, according to Scripture, it begins when sin is removed and we are washed clean. It begins when by faith we trust in God's grace and he gives us new birth. It begins when we stop struggling to get to heaven on our own and we rest in God's eternal power. When we stop trying to have God approve of what we do and we connect with God's peace, which only comes through Jesus Christ. Again, Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 speaks of the fact that this peace is not something that we can manufacture. He is our peace. I know it seems easy, but who among us can completely understand Jesus? Nobody in the history of the whole world has been able to understand Jesus. How do we think that we're going to be able to completely grasp who he is? And if he is our peace, then that means that we're going to be completely unable to comprehend how he can bring us peace. And yet, only in Jesus are the two enemies that we've talked about reconciled. Jesus did all the heavy lifting. Peace with God is Jesus' work. It is not ours. We are called to receive the gift. We are not called to manufacture the gift. We are called to just take it in, because he is our peace. I know it's hard to wrap your brains around it, but that's exactly what Paul says. God will give you the peace that you need. It comes in the form of Jesus Christ. It is a peace that we have to have, because we need something that powerful to guard our heart and our mind. And when I hear the term guard, I think of a bodyguard. And that's kind of what this term means. It means that there is a group of people who will take a bullet for you, kind of guard. And that's what God's peace does. God's peace will take a bullet for you. Now, the other kind of thing about this guardianship is it's not just sometimes, and it's just not temporary. It is all the time. 24/7, you never take a break. Do you realize that the tomb of the unknown soldier has been guarded every minute since midnight, July 2nd, 1937? That's 44,150,400 minutes. Constant, continual. That tomb is never unguarded. That is the dedication that Jesus Christ has to guarding your heart and your mind. His peace. Now, if we can do this humanly speaking, why do we think that God can't protect us? That somehow God is way off in the middle of nowhere and there is no way that he can provide for us the protection for our hearts and our minds. Nothing deters these soldiers from their commitment. Nothing deters our Savior from his commitment to us to guard our hearts and our minds. And that's exactly the most important thing that God needs to protect is our heart and our mind. Now in Scripture, heart and mind are constantly used to describe the essence of who we are, the very core of our being. It includes our worldview. It includes the things that we hold most dear. It includes the things that are foremost on our mind. It includes our thoughts and our passions. It includes everything about our being to the very core of who we are. We can't hide our heart and our mind. In fact, Scripture also says that out of our heart and mind come our words. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. So whatever is inside of you is going to come out at some point. You've heard people say, well, you can lie for a while, but eventually the truth is going to come out. Yeah, because we know what is in our heart. So you can fool some of the people some of the time. But eventually, your true colors are going to show. And that's exactly what this is, what Paul is saying, is this guardianship of Jesus' peace through the cross is designed to protect the very core of who we are. And if who we are isn't in line with what God wants, he provides the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sins so that we get in line with God's will. You see, if God's peace is going to guard our hearts and our minds, then God's peace needs to be the standard of what we think and how we feel. And so Paul gives us what the standard is. He says he will guard our hearts and our minds, what? In Christ Jesus. You see, there always has to be a standard. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds, not just in this world, not just amongst your friends, not just what you think is cool or what you think is acceptable, but it has to be in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that when you are baptized, you are not baptized into a church? You're not baptized into a doctrine? You're not baptized into a certain group? You are baptized in Christ. That's huge. But that's one of the reasons why we submerge you or immerse you into water is because we want every single bit of your life to be completely surrounded, not by the doctrines of the church, not by the teachings of this congregation, but by Jesus Christ. Because only that peace, which transcends all understanding, is going to guard your hearts and minds. Do you see how it works? It isn't about me. It isn't about you. It's all been about Jesus, always has been and always will be. In Christ, it's not about a doctrine, it's not about a congregation. It is about a commitment that Jesus makes that if you will get in him, you will have everything that you need to protect the very core of your being. Now here's the trouble. Remember how much Satan hated it when God had perfect peace with Adam and Eve? Satan hates it when you decide that you're going to get into Christ. And he is going to do everything that he can to try to have you step away from God's peace, to have you step away from Jesus as your Messiah or Jesus as your Savior. He can do it insidiously. He can do it through judgmentalism or pride or prejudices or legalism. He can do it all kinds of ways. There are thousands of different ways that Satan can infiltrate our hearts and our minds, which is why it is essential that we do all we can to stay in constant contact with the Prince of Peace. If we're not in contact with the Prince of Peace, how are we ever going to know what peace is all about? So, as we kind of wrap it up, I guess really what we need to understand is that the only peace, though we can't understand it, the only peace that is ever going to completely, truly guard what is most precious to God, our heart and our minds, the very core of who we are, the only peace is the peace that came on the cross, the blood that was shed for each and every one of us. Let God draw us into his presence through the blood of Jesus. Let the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, become our identity, so that we will know that we are protected, so that we will know that we are guarded every minute of every day, 24/7, 365 days out of the year, for hundreds and hundreds of years. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding, that you can't even imagine, that transcends everything in your mind, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now is the time to do that. Wouldn't you want that kind of protection? Wouldn't you want that kind of guardianship? The invitation is always open. It's always available. We're always ready for people who want to be guarded to the very core of their being by the Prince of Peace. We have a song that we're going to sing.